I appreciate you being here. I really do, from the bottom of my heart. All right, Genesis chapter, let me find it here. I'm going to look at a Bible character today. Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter number 18. And I'm going to look at this man called Abraham. He was called a friend of God. I tell you, one of the reasons, if I don't preach too long, it'll be a Hershey bar. That's what was in there with that note from the children's church. It's got a Hershey kiss on the front of it. I'll share the kiss with Miss Eve, and I'll keep the Hershey bar for myself. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's read together. I want to start reading here in verse number 1. And the Lord appeared unto him. This is talking about Abraham in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. And the Bible said here, after that you shall pass on, for therefore you come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. Now, turn over in your Bible there to chapter 18 and verse 17. And the Bible said, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Now look at verse 19. This is a very, very interesting and important verse. He said, God said, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, and the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? Then you go on down. I'm not going to read it all, but he goes on down in verse 28 to 45 righteous, in verse 29 to 40 righteous. He goes down to 30 righteous in verse 30. 20 righteous in verse 31. In verse 32, he gets all the way down to 10. And God said, I'll not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you this morning for the living word of God. God, though this was written thousands of years ago, Lord, it's still applicable in our lives today. And God, this Father's Day, I pray, Lord, you'd speak to us that have the privilege to be called Daddy. Lord, what a blessing it is, Lord, to have that privilege. God, I pray today, Lord, that you would just bless in a mighty way in this service. Thank you for those that have come in, Lord, even in this auditorium today. Lord, we've been able to reach out through the Bible school, the visitation. God, help us to keep reaching out. Lord, they're all around us that need you. And I pray, Lord, you'd speak to hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to give you three simple thoughts that the Lord has dealt with my heart here. Abraham was called a friend of God. He's called by many the father of the faith. And he is certainly a faithful man. The Bible said that Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. The Word of God tells us about Abraham in chapter number 11 of the book of Hebrews, how that he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And I thought about Abraham and the fact that he was a father. And here we know that in this chapter in the Bible, God let me see three things that I believe a godly father ought to be comfortable with. How many fathers do we have today with us? Raise your hand if you're here and you're a father. Now, how many would like to be called a godly father? I'm telling you, I don't know of a better title for a daddy, amen, than someone would say, my daddy loves Jesus. My daddy is a godly father. And everything that I'm preaching today would apply to mothers as well. But I want to look at the home for just a few minutes and show you three things that I believe is very, very important. Number one, Abraham was comfortable with God's presence. He was comfortable with God's presence. Can I say something to you this morning? I've examined my life as I prepared to preach. I've been saved for 27 years. There have been some times in my life when I didn't want to be still. How many heard what I just said? When I didn't really want, his presence to get real big and real sweet in my life. Because the very fact of the matter is I wasn't living where I should have been living. And wasn't doing what I should have been doing. Amen. And I'm telling you that we're living in a society today where the cell phone takes our time. The television takes our time. Everything under the sun takes our time. And we don't have time for Him. And many times, listen to me carefully, the fact of the matter is we're just not comfortable in His presence. Amen. And we don't want to be still and know that He is God. But here in the chapter, in the beginning of the chapter, the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. I've never caught this before. There's three individuals that show up here. Evidently, one of them is that pre-incarnate Christ, the angel of the Lord. And two of them are those angels that come with the Lord to visit with Abraham. One of the things I want to ask you this morning is, are we comfortable in the presence of the Lord? I'm going to make a statement this morning. God help us. I'm telling you, it's possible in this generation to go to church and not experience the presence of the Lord. I didn't ask you if you're comfortable in the house of God. I asked you if you're comfortable in the presence of the Lord. When's the last time you got alone with Him and His presence became so real and so sweet that He squeezed your heart and it ran out of your eyeballs? Amen. In joy and in praise to our God. I believe with all my heart. It's evident here, Abraham is not just called a friend of God. Abraham is a friend of God. And he's very comfortable in the presence of the Lord. He says here, watch this. He lifted up his eyes and he looked. Three men stood. He saw them. He ran to meet them from the tent door. And he bowed himself before the ground. And he said, my Lord, if now I've found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Abraham is saying, hey, come on in, Lord, stay a while. Amen. Don't just pass by, but I want you to park here for a little while. I'll tell you what we need. If we're ever going to have revival in America, it's going to be because God is invited back to the house. And God, my friend, is not just a visitor at the house, but my friend, He dwells at the house, amen, with His fathers and with His friends. The Bible said here, Abraham said, let a little water, I pray you, be fetched. Wash your feet. Rest yourselves under the tree. I'll fetch a morsel of bread. Comfort ye your hearts. After that you shall pass on. Therefore, are you come now to your servant? They said, so do. Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah. And he said, Sarah, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal. Knead it. Make cakes upon the hearth. Abraham ran into the herd. Fetched the tender calf. Do anybody see? This takes a lot of work. Amen. I'm telling you, Abraham doesn't want to just sit a peanut butter and jelly sandwich down for his Lord. He wants to fix a meal, my friend, that's fit for a king. Because after all, he is a king. Amen. He is a king. I believe with all of my heart, we should ask ourselves the question, are we comfortable in his presence? I haven't always been comfortable in his presence. You know what causes us not to be comfortable in his presence? It's just a little old three-letter word, but it's big. S-I-N. Amen. Sin will never be comfortable in the presence of God. Amen. One or the other will have to go. How many knows that? Amen. One or the other will have to go. So, fathers, this morning, are we comfortable in his presence? I thought about this and I typed it in a Google search. I haven't heard it in years. It said, if Jesus came to your house, if Jesus came to your house to spend some time with you, if he came unexpected, I wonder what you'd do. Oh, I know you've given your nicest room to touch an honored guest, and all the food you'd give him would be the very best. And you would keep assuring him you're glad to have him there, that serving him in your home is joy beyond compare. But when you saw him coming, would you meet him at the door with arms outstretched in welcome to your heavenly visitor? Or would you have to change your clothes before you let him in, or hide some magazines and put the Bible where they had been? Would you hide your worldly music and put some hymn books out? Or could you let Jesus walk right in? Or would you rush about? And I wonder if the Savior spent a day or two with you, would you go right on doing the things you always do? Would you go right on saying the things you always say? Or would life for you continue as it does from day to day? Would you take Jesus with you everywhere you go? Or would you maybe change your plans for just a day or so? Would you be glad to have him meet your closest friends? Or would you hope they stay away until his visit ends? Would you be glad to have him stay forever on and on? Or would you sigh with great relief when at last he was gone? It might be interesting to know the things that you would do if Jesus came in person to spend some time with you. I just read in the Bible where he came in person to spend some time with Abraham. And Abraham didn't rush around hiding anything. Abraham didn't run from him. Abraham ran to him. And the only thing he was rushing around to do was make him welcome in the house. Amen. I don't know about you this morning. That speaks to my heart. Fathers, we ought to be comfortable in the presence of God. When God shows up, we ought to be comfortable in the presence of God. Second thing we need to be comfortable with is the purpose of God. Think about this. You say, preacher, what is my purpose? Look in verse 19. The Bible said of God, of Abraham, God said it. He said, I know him. Here's the purpose for fathers, that he will command his children after him, and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. I believe with all of my heart, listen to me carefully, especially fathers right here. God in heaven knows that I grew up with a father that loved me. You say, how do you know he loved you, preacher? Well, there's several ways. Number one, he provided for me. Number two, he chastened me. You say, what? You mean that he loves you and you know that? Oh, yes, he corrected me. I tell you, this Bible teaches all through from one end to the other that a father in heaven that loves his children will chasten those that he loves. And I believe, my friend, I know that my father loved me. My father was not just interested in being my friend, but he was interested in being my father. And that sometimes is difficult. There have been times when I'd like to be a friend to my son, when I had to be a father to my son. If I can be both, I want to be both. But if I have to choose, I must be a father unto my son. Oh, beloved friend, the Bible said here he was comfortable not just with God's presence for his life, in his life, but with God's purpose for his life. God said about Abraham, I know him. He will command his children and his household after him. And the Bible said they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. I believe with all of my heart. You say, preacher, what has this got to do with us today? You better read this in its context. The next verse goes into talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. Let me say, if there's ever a generation where we need to be teaching our children the way of the Lord, it's a generation that we live in. We must teach them the way of the Lord. Hollywood will teach them one way. The internet will teach them one way. The rock music crowd will teach them one way. But we must teach them the way of the Lord. We must teach them God's way. And God's way is found in God's book. Always has been, and it always will be. Our friend faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I believe Abraham was a friend of God. He was comfortable with God's presence. He was comfortable with God's purpose for his life, his purpose to command his children and his household. By the way, you know, I believe Abraham's commandments in his household were kind of like God's. They weren't 10 suggestions. Say amen. That's the way we want to treat the Word of God anymore, you know, like it's 10 suggestions. No, it's 10 commandments. It always has been, and it always will be. Take them off the courthouse wall or put them on the courthouse wall. The Word of God will stand forever, and it'll always be the Word of the living God. I don't know about you. Abraham stirs my heart to think about a man that was comfortable in God's presence, comfortable with God's purpose for his life. Let me say this to you. Fathers, this is definite. The definite purpose of God for our life is to raise our children in the ways of the Lord. But I'll tell you, outside of that, we ought to be discovering, praying about, uncovering, as we walk with God, the perfect will of God for our lives. Listen, there's one more thing, and then I'm done in the chapter. I want you to understand that Abraham, he knows somebody that's down in Sodom. That's Lot. That's his nephew. Lot, if you only had the Old Testament, you would have to wonder. I don't think you sure wouldn't have a proof text to whether Lot was saved or not. But if you go over to the book of Peter, I believe it is, the Bible talks about how he vexed his soul, his righteous soul, with the filthy conversation of the wicked. You say, well, preacher, what else was Abraham comfortable with? Let me give you this. Number one, he was comfortable with God's presence. Number two, how many believes if you're going to be a godly father, you got to be comfortable in God's presence? And number two, he was comfortable with God's purpose for his life. He was comfortable with that. He enjoyed that, carrying out the purpose of God in his life. And number three, it's a simple thing, but it's profound. He was comfortable in prayer, talking to the God of heaven. You say, preacher, where does he do? Well, he says, Lord, if you'll notice here, I really had to look at this carefully this morning. The Lord stays behind while the two angels head on toward Sodom. Can you see that right in there? And the Lord stays behind, and he's gonna talk with Abraham, and Abraham's going to talk with him. And Abraham says, Lord, if you could find 50 righteous people down there, would you spare that city? And God said, I would. Let me say something to you this morning. We need to be interceding for America. We need to be interceding for this country that we live in. I don't know if you're watching the news, but look at the money that we spend in Iraq and the blood and the lives that we spend in Iraq. And here they come again. I don't know about you. I'm not preaching politics, but it looks to me like an absolute waste. And you say, preacher, they're going to Baghdad. Don't you understand? It ain't going to be long if we don't turn to God in this country. They're going to be coming to Washington. We need help. We need somebody that will intercede on behalf of our country, on behalf of our loved ones, on behalf of our community. We need somebody that will get a hold of God. Somebody that's comfortable in prayer. I don't know about you this morning, but I believe one of the reasons we don't pray any more than we do is because we're not comfortable there. Somebody say amen. Oh, me or something. It's the truth. I believe if we love to pray, we'd pray more. I believe if we were comfortable in prayer, we'd pray more. I believe if we believe God still answers prayer, we'd pray more. I believe if we believe that there was hope for America, we'd pray more. If there was hope for our children, we'd pray more. God is in heaven, and there is hope. Amen. And here is a father that was comfortable in the presence of God. He was comfortable with the purpose of God for his life. And he was comfortable. You know, I'm not just saying this, Sister Geraldine. Brother Jack didn't have to be nobody else. You want to know why he was comfortable being Brother Jack? He knew what God had made him. He knew without God he was nothing. Amen? And he didn't have to worry about what people said or what people thought. He was just comfortable walking with God. And I believe we need fathers this morning that just be the father God made you and be comfortable in the presence of God. Be comfortable with the purpose that God has given you. And then be comfortable in prayer, talking to the God of heaven. I believe with all of my heart this morning, it's no wonder, Brother Gale, that Abraham was called a friend of God. When God said do something, Abraham just got at it and began to do it. You say, preacher, how do you know this man was comfortable in prayer? There are several ways I know. You look at the time spent right in the text that we read today. He went all the way down to 10. But let me say this. Read your Bible and study about Abraham. Everywhere he went, he built an altar. Everywhere he went, he built an altar. He built an altar. He built an altar. And I'm going to tell you something right now. God's people need an altar. The fathers that are with us today need an altar. I know of homes today that are in trouble. I tell you something right now. You say, preacher, where does the healing come from? I tell you, where the altar. It comes from the altar of God. When we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, God can heal our home. God can heal our heart. God can heal our nation. The Word of God said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. And I will heal their land. America's greatest need is not economic, it's spiritual. America's greatest need is spiritual. But I'm going to tell you something right now. The spirituality will never be turned around until the morality is turned around. We need morals that are taught from the Word of God. May God help us today. Abraham was a friend of God. I cannot think of a better thing for a father to be called than to be called a friend of God. Comfortable with God's presence. Comfortable with God's purpose. And comfortable talking to the God of heaven in prayer, interceding for others. You know, there's some, when they hear that a family's in trouble, they talk. And when another hears that a family's in trouble, they pray. How many knows which is the better of the two? There are some, when they hear that a preacher's in trouble, they talk. And there are others that hear of a preacher that's in trouble, and they pray. How many knows which is the better of the two? There are some, when they hear that a church is in trouble, they talk
And others, when they hear that a church is in trouble, they pray. How many knows which is the better of the two? God, help us to pray. We can see a mighty move of God, but not apart from prayer. We must get a hold of Him, or He'll never get a hold of us. Amen. Let's get a hold of God on behalf of our country, on behalf of our community, on behalf of our churches. I believe with all my heart. I was watching this morning a man preach out of Knoxville, Tennessee. And this man made the statement. I haven't studied it out. I haven't looked it up. But I have confidence that this man wouldn't have said it without some foundation. He said, you want to know where the powers went? He made this statement. He said 50%, half of the people in churches today are involved in pornography. That's what he said. He made that statement. I'm going to tell you something right now. There's only one that can get us clean. And there's only one that can keep us clean. And I tell you, we need His power back. Say amen. We need His power back in our homes. We need His power back in the house of God. We can't expect any power in the White House till we get it back in God's house. We need His power back. May God help us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You this morning for the privilege to preach the gospel. God, I pray this morning You would speak to our hearts. Father, give us fathers that want to be and desire to be and live to be a friend of God. I pray this morning, Father, that You would just bless in a special way in the house of God today. Lord, help us to do Your will until You come.